Listen, because we got classrooms back there where these children get to. Oh, yeah. So we get to trot all the way. Come on down here, man. Come on down here. Find you a spot. Did everybody get coffee and cinnamon roll and donuts this morning? No? What, did you get a cup of coffee? No. You got a cinnamon roll. Okay, good, good, good. Well, then we're all winning. We're going to send them back there to those classrooms all jacked up. Come on. Look at that girl in that dress and them pink boots. Huh? It don't get better than that, I think. Doggone it. And then she come up here and she saw these hoodlums and she thought, what? Church, we got a classroom full of teachers back there who want to share the word, the hope, and faith with these children. So pray with me as we pray for those classrooms, those teachers, and as we pray for these children. So all of us cowboys, let's all us cowboys pull our hats off. Let's all of us bow our head and close our eyes while we focus on Jesus for just a second. She run again. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being our Savior. And we thank you that you are God, Father. And so, Lord, this morning we just ask for a blessing on those teachers and those classrooms as these kids go back there to learn, to understand, and take a hold of the hope that you are. We thank you for this time. And it's in Jesus' name, on the very authority of your Son, that we pray. Amen. All right. All right. All the way to the back. Yeah. Yeah. We just get you here, get you a little exercise going this way. Then we send you that way with a little exercise. Run some of that coffee off. Well, after church this morning, we will baptize a couple out there at the windmill. And we invite everybody here, if you would, immediately following church, just stroll out there to the windmill. And they will be baptized in that trough. And we can celebrate that with them. And you're invited to stay, stick around, enjoy. And then, listen, if something's moving in you and you feel like there's a step that you need to take that you have yet to take, and that is baptism, would you say something to somebody in leadership? Would you say something to me? Would you bring it up? Could we have that conversation? Because we are told in Scripture that we are to be baptized. Oh, it ain't going to save you. You're not going to get wet and all of a sudden you got fire insurance. But what you will do is stand before your Creator, your Savior, and you'll say, Lord, thank you. And from here on out, in front of all these people, I stand and profess you as my Savior. So come celebrate that with us, will you? Boo! New deal. Listen, I have, in my life, I have tried to do a lot of things. Every time I started off doing something, I thought, this is it. This is me. Whew, from here on, don't you know it. Right, I couldn't wait to get out of high school and move out of my daddy's house because I was going to go rodeo and I was going to be some world champion. Everybody was wishing they was going to be me, and I wasn't going to have no women around. They'd slow me down. I was just going to run up and down the roads everywhere, and people would know my name, and I'd be super famous. I didn't know how it all would end, but I figured it'd end tragically. And I'm going to tell you, I prayed about that too. Lord, just make me a great bronc rider. Boy, that's going to be good. If you'll just make... I had no intention to doing all the work and all the practice that would get me there. You follow me? I just wanted to be. And a little bit of natural talent, a little bit of try, you know, at the end of the day, it kind of, you know, I had a good go at it. But I didn't get nowhere. I mean, I prayed about it. I wanted God to make me that way, but I really wasn't going to take any extra steps. Just, I figured I was born that way. Pretty much everything I've ever done has been like that. I wasn't much interested in doing all the work that would be required to be successful doing something. I pretty much wanted it given to me. I'd pray about it too. I remember praying that I would survive a couple of things. Like, I've never been in war, but you know what I'm talking about, that foxhole deal. When you're down, you think it's over, and Lord, if you'll just, I will. I prayed that. I prayed that a bunch. It's not just one time. I get wrecked out quite a bit. If you're me, you know what I'm talking about. And I just pray, Lord, if you'll just... But what I want to say this morning is this whole thing about praying, this whole thing about our Heavenly Father, this whole thing about our dads and me and you, and I got a lot of questions about prayer. Can I get a witness? I got a lot of questions about praying, and how do you do it, and how does it work, and what's my part, and how, where does it go, and how long do you keep it up, and am I being selfish if I'm, and is this just for me, or am I praying for God's will? You know what I'm talking about. She does. The idea is that I wonder if I'm praying, asking God for something. Do I feel like I'm maybe obligating God to do that because I'm praying? Like, you hear me, Lord. And the Bible says, yeah, I can have anything I want if I'll just ask, right? So am I trying to obligate God to do something for me? I think that's a mistake. Am I trying to trick God if I'm praying, but I'm doing a little bit of work, and I ain't terrible, like I ain't murdered nobody. Can't be all that bad, so I'm a kind of a good person, Lord. Am I trying to trick him into maybe doing what I want? So how do I pray, and what is it that I'm praying for, and how do you and I continue to pray all the time? Because honestly, at the end of the day, what has to happen that I feel like I got my prayers answered? Does something have to out of heaven somewhere? And how do I know if I'm praying God's will? Because then, I mean, I prayed about a million different things. And I'm going to be honest with you, a million beautiful things have happened to me that I know was God doing that. Over and over again. But I'm not necessarily saying I prayed about that. You know, I remember in high school praying God would give me that girl. And praying and being sad. Every girlfriend I ever had left me. The only one that stayed I got papers on. But I prayed, Lord. And then she'd up and go. Right? So what if he'd have answered those prayers? I'd have been married 100 times. And I keep on coming back to the same thing. So when she leaves, do I just pray God bring her back? Which I did. And she never came back. And then at some point, and I'm just talking about me, at some point I got over that. And I said, ooh, look at her. And then I'm thinking, Lord, you know how that goes, right? So did God answer my prayers? Did he not answer my prayers? What was I praying selfishly? What was going on in me? And I'm saying this out loud so that maybe you'll think, you know what? I've been there. I know what it's like to think if only you would, God, it's going to change everything. And I'm not talking about that time that you was talking about surviving. And Lord, if you'll just get me through this, we've all broke that promise too. Praying is such a mystery. It's such a mystery, but it's such a simple truth. It's not like we don't know how to do it. Everybody knows how to do it. And then we wonder if we're doing it right, if we're doing it well, if we're being selfish, if we're trying to be in God's will, or we're just trying to get what I want. Because all of that stuff is true. Every bit of that is true. And then I pray, Lord, would you, am I willing to take the steps to allow God to do that? Because all those years that I prayed I'd be the world champion bronc rider, what I thought was taking steps was every once in a while going and getting on a practice horse. Every once in a while trying to eat right, live right, behave right. Every once in a while do something towards that end. Really what I was praying for was God would just poof, and I would be that world champion bronc rider. I didn't want to say it like that, but that's the inside of me that was praying that, because I wasn't willing to do the work. I wasn't willing to step out there and be actively involved in what God was doing in me, leading me, showing me. I just wanted to miraculously, magically be that champion. And I'm going to bet that there's a lot of us in here that have walked around in that same circle thinking, you know what? I wish you would, God. I'm praying for, and if you'll do it, I'm going to difference making thing. But I'm really not going to change my way of going. I just need you to bless me. How many of us, I just want to throw this out there, would allow our children to live in obvious disobedience to our rules? But then we just talk about, it's okay. Come on, you're good. Here's everything. We don't not feed our children, not care for our children, not love our children. But if they're in open disobedience to us, there are consequences. Yet, in my life, I have literally lived in open disobedience. What I know is sin, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm praying to you, like the Bible says, like you tell me to pray, and I'm praying to you, but I am not willing to do the things that God has commanded of me, asked of me, leading me, guiding me, teaching me. I'm not willing to do those things. I just want God to do it. We all struggle with the same thing. We call them different things. It's all sin. And we call it different. It looks different for you than it does for me. I'm going to bet some of you got the same sins I got. But it is the reality and the truth that what we are doing, it is not right for me to ask and pray for God to bless me, touch me, and change me, and give me, and help me when I live in open, obvious disobedience. So here's this thing that I want to say. I want us to get to a little understanding. So I thought a lot about it. I prayed a lot about it. Did I pray about it? Because I still don't know how to get there. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't know how to get there. There's not a formula. There's not a thing. If I do, God will. It's not like that. What God has called us is to obedience. God has called us to respond to Him in obedience. To do the things He asks us to do, shows us to do, teaches us to do. And then by doing that, then I'm going to fall into God's will. I'm going to be walking in the place and in the steps and on the path that God wants me to. Pretty much I wake up every day with my plan. And I ask God to bless that. And I'm getting better about changing my direction as I go. Because I also want to be obedient to God. But here's the thing. I want to somehow understand, and I hope this morning in the next few minutes we can talk about this. I don't know if I'm going to clear anything up for you. She's speaking in tongues. That's real. And I feel like I can interpret that. She's happy now. I don't know if it's going to make sense. I don't know if you're going to walk out of here this morning and you'll go, listen, I learned something about prayer. I know something about prayer. But here's what I hope that you do leave out of here this morning, is asking the questions about your prayer life, about how you pray, about when you pray, about what you pray for, I just want to be, we don't know anything that's not in this book. So for me and you to understand what, how, when, where, why, we got to be in the book. I want you to, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 18. So if you got your Bibles, get there. So we can get started thinking that there's something about this that we need to know. And in Luke chapter 18, Matthew, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, begins the New Testament. Page 800 in this Bible. If you ain't got one, raise your hand up. We got a truckload of them. We want to give them away. You need to have a Bible that you can write in and talk about. That don't make sense. Oh, I love that. Maybe not. Whatever it is you do, color in it, draw in it, get you one. And when it gets too busy for you to read, put it away, get you another one. These things are everything to you and I. So in Luke chapter 18, this might be familiar to a lot of us. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples, those men with him, not just the 12, the men who were with him, following him. He told those disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. See, here's the beautiful thing about that. That they should always pray and never give up. So now we know exactly why he told the story. We ain't got to figure nothing out. This is the beautiful part about reading Scripture, just like it says. Jesus told this story so that you and I could understand why we should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city. The judge said, I neither fear God nor cared about people. And a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Well, the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or I even care about people, but this woman's driving me crazy. And I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her requests. So this is just a parable. It's just a story. We can make it in anything she wants. But this judge was a ne'er-do-well, and he was only in it for himself. And this woman had a legit issue, and she was talking about, I just want justice. She didn't say, I need him blowed up, or I need money, or I need him. She just said, I need justice. So let's face the truth that this isn't about anything other than what Jesus is telling us. This is about just doing right. And Jesus said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he'll grant justice to them quickly, he said. And what Jesus is saying is that he's not comparing God to this judge. He's saying this crooked ne'er-do-well of a judge could even be pressured into doing the right thing. What about God who loves you and I, our Father, our good, good Father who loves us? He'll do for us. Just like you will for your children. There's no way we abandon. There's no way we drop them. Even though if they're in obvious disobedience, we're not going to blow them up. And God's not going to do that either. If this judge could be pressured by this woman who just wants justice, if this judge could be pressured to do the right thing, how much easier is it for God who desires to do the right thing, to do something for us? He says something pretty profound when he finishes this up. Jesus said, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? That cuts. I'm just saying, read it like it says. There's a wide gate and a narrow gate. And what we're trying to understand, I'm going to let that sit, is just how we pray. Just how we pray. And he says, to always pray and never give up. And the reality of that is, in Philippians 4 and 6, Paul says this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, some little one-horse towns. Philippians is on page 901. Philippians 4 and 6, Paul said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. So again, we're talking about praying, always praying, always praying. Keep up praying. Do this praying. Ask. Ask. We'll find out what God's doing, where God's going, what he's leading and guiding. But if we're not in prayer, we're never going to bump into that. There's not magic words. Can I tell you? I believe if somebody was talking to you and they called your name 100 times asking you or talking to you about something, either one, they're trying to remember your name, or two, they're getting on your nerves. How many times will you, Lord, God, and you just keep saying that over again because we feel like there's some magic words that we want to use to get God's attention. He already knows what you want to say. So when you start off praying and you say, Lord, you don't have to keep up every other word, Lord, every other word, God. You don't have to keep on, because the truth is, that's a way that's the way we let our minds pause for a second. Think about what you want to ask God. When you pray, be earnest, be sincere, be true, be real. It's not magic. If you say ain't, you can say ain't to God. If you cuss, try not to cuss. But be you. God knows you. And you're not a better version of the old you when you're saved. You become a new creation. And that new creation, that new you, wants to be close to the Father. So pray. Speak. Use your words. Use your language. Use the words that you use. And keep it up. Always pray and never give up. That's the instruction from the Bible. And here's another thing that I think I've discovered about prayer. Is that you and I should pray with some smarts. The Bible calls that wisdom. In James, drop back to your right, all the way to James. Right after Hebrews comes James. And in James, here's what I want you to see. In James 1 and 5, here's what James says. If you need wisdom, if you need smart, if you need to understand, if you need, and we need, then ask. He said, ask our generous God and He'll give it to you. He's not going to rebuke you. He's not going to get on to you. He's not going to tell you, shut up, dummy. That's our fear, that we sound stupid to God. And guess what? We are immature to God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. And I ain't. So I sound childish. But if I need wisdom, James says, if I need wisdom, ask. God's not going to get on to me for it. He said, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Meaning, my faith is in God to accomplish giving me wisdom. But I've got to take some steps. I can't just say, Lord, magically put this whole book in me without me reading it. You need wisdom? It's in here. You need help? It's in here. But if I don't read it, if you don't read it, if you don't open these pages and look at it, you're not getting wisdom. God will give you wisdom if you'll take the steps that it takes to get wisdom. And by doing that, God will answer your prayers. He'll show you, teach you, give it to you. I know it's true in my life. And I do this terribly well, bad. The reality of wisdom is that it comes from God and God alone. The Bible completely says that in Colossians. Drop back to your left to the Colossians, which is right before the T's. And in Colossians 2, one more page. In Colossians chapter 2, you got to see this in 2 and 2. Did I write that down? Yeah. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by the strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is in Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You only get it from God. It only comes from God. And He's given it to us in this book. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If I need it, I got to ask God for it. I got to do the work. I got to stay in the book. I got to put some effort into this thing. He's not going to magically poof it into my brain. I've tried that. I need to do the work. I got to be willing to take the steps. I want to be encouraged to do that. And then we are supposed to, he says, Paul, who wrote this letter, says in 4 verse 2, Colossians 4 verse 2, turn the page. He said, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. I'm asking for wisdom. And when God reveals that wisdom, gives me that wisdom, I need to be open-minded with an open heart. Because if God sends me to Zimbabwe to be a midwife, totally out of my wheelhouse, it's the right place to be. I would be the most happy there. I know that that's true. I can't see that here. I would never think that in my brain. But if God was leading me to do that, I guess I better saddle up. Because with an open heart and an open mind, I know that that's where I will be the best. But that's what it means to have to be devoted to prayer with an open heart and an open mind. We're all struggling with the same thing. We all struggle with the reality of being obedient in prayer. And so I want you to look at the Psalms. Psalms. Why do they have a P on it? Psalms 139 on page 476. In Psalms 139. And way back before Jesus, here's what the psalmist writes. These words just help us and to help us understand who God is, what God is, how God works, where God works. And you need to read the whole thing, but in 139 and 1, it said, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me." That's just the truth. Everything. The dark, the crappeth, the bad. You know when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Down in 7, he said, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. There's no place where you are that he ain't." Can you grasp that? Can you get your head around the reality of that? In 13, he said, "You made all my delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." God did that. God did that. He says in 15, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of my womb, and you saw me before I was ever born." God did that. That's who God is. And in 139 and verse 23, a prayer I pray a lot, a prayer that I have learned to pray a lot and that guides me and holds me and keeps me. Read it. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." When I honestly pray that prayer, when you honestly pray that prayer, things change. Things change. It ain't comfortable, let me just tell you now. It ain't comfortable. But God is a loving, righteous, heavenly Creator, Father. God is. And you and I know that. And here's the thing that I hope that we can get to and understand. That even when I don't know what to pray, even though I don't know what to say, but I just know I'm in a pickle. I'm in a tight spot. There's something going on. I don't even know what's going on in me. I don't understand how this is affecting me. Doesn't have to even be bad. But I know in Romans 8, Paul says that the Holy Spirit knows what I'm praying. He knows me and he prays to God the Father for me. So if I'll just stop and I'll get my brain focused on my Creator God, and I'll be still and I'll be quiet, the Holy Spirit will pray and God will hear. I don't have to use words. I just have to be there. You and I just need to be there. And Jude says this at the end in Jude 1. In 7, there's only one Jude, and that's right before Revelation. In Jude 1, I want to say this. In Jude 1 and 7. Or 17, I mean. "But you, friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Christ predicted. And they told you that in the last days there's going to be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. And these people are the ones who are creating divisions among you, and they follow their natural instincts because they don't have God's Spirit in them. But you must build each other up in your holy faith. Pray in the power of the Spirit. Pray in the power of the Spirit. We live in these days. Pray in the power of the Spirit. And wait the mercy of our Lord Christ Jesus, who will bring you to eternal life. And in this way, you'll keep yourselves safe in God's love. You know what God tells us to do in this letter? Show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. But now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and who will bring you with great joy into His glorious presence without a single fault. You and I just need to get in communication with God. You can pray to Jesus. You can pray to the Spirit. You can pray to God. You're praying. Is there a formula? No. Are there the correct words? No. Have you learned how to do it today? Probably not. But are you thinking to yourself, search me, O God. Show me, O God. Because if you are, the very Spirit of your Creator is working inside of you. And if you would be obedient to answer, to respond, God will teach you, not me. Pray with me. Pray with me from start to finish, all day, every other day. Me, everybody else. All I see in Scripture is that you are calling me, us, to pray, to be, to talk to you, to ask you what, where, when, how, about everything that we do, raising our children, working at our jobs, walking in this world. Everything that you are calling and asking me to do, you're giving us the ability to do. But we need direction. You've given us gifts to use. You've given us a place and a purpose and a way to accomplish what you want. And then so selfishly, I just do what I want. And so, Lord, it is my prayer this morning that we, your children, that we would respond to the promptings of your Holy Spirit living within us and move in the direction that you have called us, that we would stop the obvious disobedience, that we would ask for a blessing and be blessed because of your great love, not because we're trying to obligate you to anything. I thank you, my Lord, my Savior, my King, for being a good, good Father. Amen. Lord, we just pray in the precious name of your Son, on the very authority of Jesus Himself, and all God's people say, Amen. 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 We're going to have a baptism.
Right.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Hallelujah, bye bye. Fly away.
Hey, Jerry.
Some time. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll have my way. Yes, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, yes, I'll have my way.